The Random Jottings of Hinge and Brackett with Dr. Evadne Hinge and Dame Hilda Brackett. With friends and neighbors at Stacton Trestle in Bottling It Up.
Despite the fact that we call the house Utopia Limited, life at the old manse does have its ups and downs. And it can sometimes be very short on ups. Well, to give you an example, my diary for one particular week reads as follows. Monday. Evadne's mother arrived. Maud threatened to leave. Tuesday. Talked Maud into staying. Evadne's mother threatened to leave. Wednesday. Evadne's mother decided to stay after all. Evadne threatened to leave. Thursday. Just after breakfast, Evadne left. Just before lunch, Evadne came back. Just after lunch, I left. And when I got back, Maud left. Which brings us to the Friday. When I went round to Maud's to try to persuade her to come to work as usual, but alas, returned home without her.
Evadne, dear, I'm back.
And have you got Maud with you?
No, dear, I haven't.
Well, that's a blessing. Now, we've just got to get rid of Mother, and everything will be perfect.
I met the milkman in the high street, Evadne. He gave me this note.
Burn it, dear. You never know whose bottle it's been in.
Dear, she gave it to the milkman and asked him to give it to me.
Good heavens, no wonder that milkman's always late if he's delivering mail as well. I do hope that's not what they mean when they talk about the privatization of the post office.
Evadne, do you want to hear what's happened to Maud or not, dear?
She hasn't emigrated, has she?
No.
Well, I can't think of anything else I want to hear about her.
Evadne, you might just as well listen, dear, because I'm going to tell you anyway. You know that cousin of hers who has the little boarding house in, Skegness?
Yeah.
Well, she apparently has gone down with food poisoning, and Maud's gone up with Arthur to help her out. The cousin apparently has a very busy time at this time of year. According to Maud's note, she's in season.
The food poisoning, you say?
Yes.
And Maud's gone to help out.
Yes.
Then I give it 48 hours before Skegness becomes a disaster area.
Of course, Maud is just using that cousin of hers as an excuse, you know.
An excuse for what?
Oh, it's as plain as the nose on your face, dear. She obviously didn't want to just walk out and not come back because she knew I would be hurt and that it would churn me up. She knows how I hate being churned up. It does something peculiar to my cuticles. So she just made an excuse and left the village. She's one of nature's gentlemen, as Maud. She's a perfect lady under the skin.
Do you have any idea what you're talking about, Hilda?
Not really, dear, no. You see, I am churned up. And it's really hardly surprising what with you and Maud and your mother. All week I've been churning, churning, churning.
Well, you'd better try to relax, dear, before you curdle. I mean, I would hate you to turn into a butter mountain.
Not so much of the mountain, then.
Incidentally, while you were down the road, I found out what Mother's plans are.
How did you manage that?
Well, I asked her point blank when she was going.
Very subtle there. And when is she going?
She's going back to Scotland for the 12th.
The 12th what?
St. Grouse's Day, Hilda.
Evadne, I know nothing whatever about Scottish saints, dear. When is St. Grouse's Day?
The grouse shooting, Hilda. The glorious 12th of August.
The 12th of August? But that's 2 weeks away. Oh, I don't think she should leave it that late. I'm sure I saw a grouse in the lane the other day. And it looked very ready to me.
If you saw it in the lane, it was probably a partridge. Or a chicken. I mean, what sort of noise was it making?
Well, it wasn't going cock-a-doodle-doo, if that's what
I mean. I mean, was it going... Keep it! Keep it! Keep it!
No, it wasn't. If it had been, I'd have been worried.
And then it wasn't a partridge. And was it going...
No.
What sort of noise was it making?
Wasn't making a noise at all. It was standing by the hedge perfectly quietly. Anyway, what sort of bird does go...
A pheasant. When it's flushed.
Oh. I mean, this one didn't look flushed to me. But then how can you tell with their faces all covered in feathers?
Hilda, you know perfectly well what I mean.
And I know perfectly well what a pheasant looks like, too. And it wasn't a pheasant.
Oh, anyway, what does it matter what it was? The fact is that no game birds can be shot before the 12th of August. Hence, Mother is going to Scotland on the 11th.
Oh, surely she ought to go up a bit before that, dear. Just to make sure she gets a good place.
You don't have to queue. I mean, it's not the winter sales.
Well, why can't she go up and do a bit of salmon fishing while she's waiting? Or deer stalking? Or just a bit of shopping in Princess Street? There must be something she can do up there now. After all, people do go to Scotland before the 12th of August, don't they?
Yes, dear, but not the right people.
You're not being a great deal of help, Evadne.
No, here comes Mother now.
Ah, Hilda, my dear, you're back. Well, where is Maud?
She's in Skegness, dear.
Skegness? What in heaven's name is she doing in Skegness?
Well, you didn't really expect her to go where you told her to go, did you, Mother?
I didn't expect her to go anywhere, dear. I expected her to report for duty this morning, as usual. You know, I really thought Maud and I were beginning to get along quite well together.
I don't think Maud thought you were, dear.
Well, I can't think why not.
Perhaps it was something to do with your calling her a stupid, pig-headed, clumsy imp.
Just before you told her where to go.
And where to put her bucket.
Well, is the stupid woman so damn sensitive? She shouldn't be a servant.
Maud is not a servant, Maureen. She's an old friend who helps out.
Well, she's not helping out now, is she? She's in Skegness.
Yes, dear, helping someone else out.
Well, that's not much of a help to us, is it? However, since you appear to hold me in some way responsible for her having deserted us, I shall stay and help out.
What?
Oh, I don't have to be in Scotland for the 12th. I have my guns with me. There must be something I can shoot round here.
Not a thing, dear, no.
No, not now Maud's gone.
Certainly, I would rather not hear any more unpleasant remarks about Maud, thank you.
Why not? She's left you in the lurch, hasn't she?
No, Maureen, she has not. She's left me Mrs. Urswick.
And who is Mrs. Urswick?
I haven't the foggiest idea, Daphne. But according to Maud's note, she lives in the village. She's an old friend of Maud's, and she's coming up this afternoon to start work at Maud's suggestion.
If she's a friend of Maud's, heaven help us.
You'd best leave Mrs. Urswick to me, Hilda. I'll deal with her. And this time we'll start as we mean to go on. Mind, we'll need to get the place looking decent for her first. Do they not see that example is better than precept?
They also say something about too many cooks, Mama.
Don't you worry your head about that side of things, dear. I'll keep a very sharp eye on her when she's preparing meals. But first things first. Hilda, when did you last look in the cupboard under your stairs?
Oh, ages ago, dear. I was looking for a vat there. Well, she'd gone in with a gas man and she hadn't come up.
He was showing me how to read the meter, Mother. And I was showing him my bulbs.
Well, whatever she was showing him, we got a very modest little bill that quarter.
And when did you last look in your garden shed, then, Hilda?
Oh, that was some time ago, too, looking for Evadne again.
And was she in there with the gas man as well?
No, she was in there with her hedgehogs.
Operation Tiggywinkle, Mama.
What, dear?
I'd found a pair of hedgehogs in the garden, and I was trying to construct a nest box, as described in the Henry Doubleday Research Association's booklet, Operation Tiggywinkle.
I fancy there was just a hint of Tiggywinkle with the gas man as well.
And what does Operation Tiggywinkle recommend for a hedgehog's nest box, then? Empty bottles?
Bottles there?
Yeah, Hilda. Your shed's full of bottles, did you not know? The cupboard under the stairs is full of bottles. The cupboard under the sink is full of bottles. Even the wardrobe in my room is full of bottles. I've never seen so many empty bottles in my life. And I'm the director of a brewery.
People give them to us, Mother.
Well, the normal practice, dear, is to drink whatever's in them and then chuck them out.
Oh, there's never anything in them, Maureen. They're empty when they're given to us.
You must know some funny people.
It's for my wine-making, Mother. As soon as people hear that you make homemade wine, you can't go anywhere without someone giving you a bottle. It's like being in hospital.
Well, I'll believe you, Evadne, but Mrs. Oswick may not be so daft. Heaven alone knows what she'll make of you two when she comes across all those empties.
Oh, good heavens, Evadne, I hadn't thought of that. She might be one of Maud's chapel friends. They're always the first to help you out when you're in trouble, and usually the first to drop you back in it once you're out. It'll be all round the village in no time.
Oh, all right.
I'll get rid of the bottles, Hilda. I've got far too many of them anyway. I shall put them in bin sacks and put them out for the dustman.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. You know how those dustmen talk. That's how we found out about Mrs. Mellinger's tattoo.
What do you suggest, then?
Perhaps we could offer them to the Navy.
You mean so they could slip messages in them and chuck them overboard when they sink?
No, dear. But sailors love whittling things, then sticking them into bottles, don't they? That is how they while away the long hours at sea.
They may have done in your day, dear. When they sailed round the Cape before the mast.
There is no call for rudeness, Evadne. At least I wasn't around when the coracle ruled the waves.
Well, you might just as well have been, dear. You're a mental dinosaur. I mean, believe me, you'll not find many sailors these days wasting their time putting ships in bottles.
Then it's hardly surprising that there's too many empty bottles in the world.
Now, girls. There's no sense in getting frayed tempers over a few bottles. Do you not have a bottle bank locally?
Oh, that's an idea. Well, yes, there's a bottle bank outside the Red Lion, isn't there, Evadne?
Not anymore, dear. It was stolen.
I know, it's just as well. I wouldn't really like to be caught outside the Red Lion, of all places, poking bottles into a bottle bank. There's something so unladylike about bottle banks.
You could wear white gloves.
Oh, no, I don't like the sound of it there, no. I mean, suppose we were spotted.
Very well, Hilda. Why don't Evadne and I go, if you'll let us take the car?
Oh, no, no, I'm sorry, dear. No, definitely no. The last time I let you drive my car, you returned home with the roof stoved in and the unlikely story that you had been jumped on by a sheep.
And whose fault was that? I didn't choose to live in the country.
No, but you choose to come and stay in it often enough, though, don't you?
If I'm not welcome, Evadne, you've only to see.
I've already said, haven't I?
Yes, and just think yourself lucky, McGarrel, that I know you well enough not to take you seriously.
I tell you what, Evadne, we could go to the bottle bank down by the side of the library. Or has that been stolen as well?
No, that's still there.
I mean, it wouldn't look suspicious, would it? I mean, if we were to be seen around the library
with 300 empty bottles, come off it. Anyway, what about the noise as we heave them into the bottle bank? It'd be enough to waken the dead.
Then it's lucky they haven't got one outside the cemetery, isn't it? Perhaps you should consider going somewhat farther afield and taking them somewhere where you're not known.
Oh, Maureen, don't. I hate to think there's any place where I'm not known.
That's really quite a sensible suggestion, Mother.
Yes, isn't it? And how very fortunate that you didn't send me packing before I was able to make it.
I know it, Abney. We'll drive to Bury St. Edmunds.
Why Bury St. Edmunds?
If Abney, the motto of Bury St. Edmunds is Shrine of a King, Cradle of the Law. Mr. Pickwick stayed at the Angel Inn there. And that wonderfully high-spirited lady novelist, Ouidah, was born there in 1839. Seems hardly likely that such a place will be without a bottle bank. And so we drove to Bury St. Edmunds. And I was quite right. It has several bottle banks, but they were all full. As were all the others we tried in a 20-mile radius. I had no idea Suffolk was so full of homemade winemakers, or just outright tipplers. Anyhow, the upshot was we had to take our bottles home again. Well, when we eventually arrived back at the old manse, Maureen was waiting for us in the hall.
Oh, hello, Mother.
You've been one heck of a time, haven't you?
Well, we've driven almost 100 miles, dear.
And we've still got the bottles in the back. We'll leave them there and try again tomorrow.
We thought we might take a picnic lunch and make a day of it.
Well, you and Mrs. Oswick's in the drawing room. I've started her off. I've given her a list as long as your arm of things that need doing. Some she's agreed to, others it appears will require further negotiation. Or someone to put their foot down hard. Leave it to me. At least she makes a better cup of tea than Maud. It doesn't have bits of fluff floating on top. She'll do.
We'll decide that, Mother.
Please yourself, dear. I've got things to do. And what do you suppose she means by that?
I don't know. Let's hope it's packing.
Well, come on, Evadne. Let's meet Mrs. Erswick.
Ah, Mrs. Erswick, we meet at last. I've heard so much about you. I'm Dame Hilda Backus, and this is Dr. Hinge.
Good afternoon, ladies.
Good afternoon.
Now, I must make it quite plain that I don't usually do this sort of thing, but Mrs. Print, Maud, has been very good to me down the years. She was so sympathetic when I had my little op, and I just said I would, for her sake, help you out ad interim, as it were, for the time being.
Your locum tenens, eh, Mrs. Elswick? A deputy.
Does the conversation have to be bilingual?
Now, there are certain things I don't do.
Oh, I'm so glad. I always think restraint is a great virtue.
I don't scrub, for a start.
Well, that's all right. We're not looking for a scrubber.
And I don't do lifting. Well, I can't now. Not since my little op. Now, cleaning windows depends. I don't mind downstairs and inside, but upstairs and outside, no.
Oh, no problem there, Mrs. Erswick. We do have a window cleaner.
And I don't do anything that involves taking my feet off the ground.
You mean like tightrope walking?
I mean like standing on steps, or step ladders, or boxes, or chairs. I've known far too many people who've come a cropper through that sort of thing. Other people's ladders are never to be trusted. And orange boxes are not built to stand on.
Perhaps you'd better start the other way round, Mrs. Erswick. What will you do?
Oh, all the usual things, Doctor. Like Ubering, and light dusting, and washing up. though not the dinner things from the night before. I consider holding it over a slovenly habit. And I'll not condone it. But I don't see you as slovenly, Dame Elder, if I may make so bold.
Oh, no, 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 Mrs. Aswick. I have been called some things in my time, but never slovenly.
Incidentally, I noticed that you have a number of empty wine bottles in your broom cupboard.
Oh, good heavens, have we? Why didn't your mother think of looking in the broom cupboard, Evadne?
Mother's never looked in a broom cupboard in her life, dear. She wouldn't know a broom if it fell on her.
No. I had heard from Mrs. Print, Maud, about your little problem.
What problem?
Too many bottles.
Maud exaggerates. We may sip a glass of wine now and again and take the teeniest little dry sherry before our dinner. And, of course, the doctor does take advantage of nature's bounty to make homemade country wine.
Yeah, they're medicinal, of course.
I say they are. No one would dream of drinking them for pleasure.
Well, you see, my dear husband has not been any too well of late.
Oh, I think I'm beginning to get your drift, Mrs. Aswick. You'd like a bottle of homemade wine for him. Something that might do him a bit of good, eh?
Oh, no, no. He doesn't drink. We neither of us drink.
No, we thought you wouldn't.
Which is why we're always on the lookout for empty bottles.
Oh, vigilantes, eh?
It's my husband's hobby, now that he's unable to get about much. He collects empty bottles, and he makes glasses out of them.
That can't be very good for his eyes.
Not spectacles, Doctor. Tumblers. Oh. It's really rather ingenious. You see, he puts a few inches of water into the bottle. Then he pours a layer of oil on top of it, and then he plunges a red-hot poker in.
Is that legal?
What, dear?
Isn't that a Molotov cocktail?
Don't be silly, Hilda. It's a method of cutting the bottle. You see, the difference in the conductive qualities of oil and water causes it to break off cleanly at the point of contact where the oil and water meet.
Silly me, of course it does.
He then smooths the top of the bottom, if you follow me,
yeah.
And makes up sets of tumblers. Oh, they sell quite well at the W.I. Do's, and it keeps Arnold out of trouble.
Well, we've got loads of empty bottles in the car at the moment, for reasons which I'll not go into, but you're most welcome to them. Isn't she, Daphne?
Yes, Hilda, isn't she? I take it that's your car in the drive, Mrs. Earthwick.
Oh, yes.
So if you'd like to give me your key, I'll transfer them over for you right away.
Oh, it's most kind of you, Doctor, most kind. There.
Thank you. I'll not be a minute.
I hope you'll not mind my saying this, Dame Elder, but I believe in being frank.
Yes.
I had heard a few things about the doctor from Mrs. Print, Maud. But she doesn't seem a bad sort.
Oh, she's not, Mrs. Aswick, she's not. But she and Maud, well, they're rather like your oil and water. Except they don't need a red-hot poker to reach breaking point. Self-igniting, if you know what I mean.
I dare, Hilda. They've gone.
What have they?
Our bottles. Someone's taken all our bottles.
Oh, don't be ridiculous, Evadne. Who would want to steal a load of empty bottles?
Possibly the same person who stole the bottle bank from outside the Red Lion.
What in heaven's name is that?
It's someone shooting.
If it's a terrorist attack, Evadne, find the cats.
It's Mother.
Well, what on earth is she doing?
Look through the window, dear. No, keep down. She's got the empties lined up all along the terrace wall just outside there. And she's down the bottom of the garden shooting at them.
Oh, exactly. How on earth will we ever get rid of all that broken glass?
I'll tell you how, Hilda. We'll make her pack it in her alligator skin cases and cast away with her. When she leaves, tonight. I'm going up there.
Not yet, Evadne. Mrs. Urswick. Mrs. Urswick?
Down here, Dame Elder!
Would you mind coming out from under the table, dear, and pass me that white tablecloth?
Oh, certainly, Dame Elder.
Oh, there you are. What do you want that for?
It's for you, dear, to wave.
Maureen?
Maureen, Evadne is coming out under a flag of truce.
You can keep your white flag, Hilda. This is no truce. This is war.
Mother!